All right. Well, if we were back about 2,000 years, a lot of things happened this week. I mean, there was a lot of things happened when Jesus came on the scene and his ministry was introduced at his baptism. But this week was really, really something, because last week I talked to you about Palm Sunday, how he rode into town to Jerusalem on the lowly donkey, representing his humility. They tried to crown him king, but he was announcing his kingship. And so that was an amazing time. And then on Monday, he goes into the temple. And if you were here Wednesday night, we did a little timeline of all the days and what was going on. I enjoyed doing that. I hope you enjoyed receiving it. But anyway, it was fun. So we captured the in-between and all the days that happened. On Monday is when he went into the temple and he was preaching, of course, in parables. Parables mean stories. And the Bible says without stories or without parables did he not speak. And so he was in there talking about these parables. And then when he was done teaching, all of a sudden, when he's done teaching, he sees these money changers out there selling sacrifices and taking advantage of the poor people, taking advantage of widows, taking advantage of everybody that they could, and selling them the sacrifice to take to the temple. So he just blew up in the name of Jesus, his own name. And he just walked in and started flipping those huge tables over. He just flipped the tables. And he had a whip that he made himself, and he just whipped them all out of the temple. You know the story? Well, that night, he goes over to Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house and had dinner. So nothing ever happened. He just went over there and ate with them and had a good old time. Next day, he's back in the temple again. It was a little bit better behavior, I think, that day. But I want to show you something. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23:44. Now, it was about the sixth hour or 12 o'clock noon. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. I mean, that was the last of all of it. It was a beginning for us, but he said, it says, it just didn't even say his last breath. It just says he breathed his last. And then the centurion saw what happened, and he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. I mean, the Roman guard that was doing on one of the Roman guards. Suddenly, it all dawned on him. See, God's got ways of showing you who he is. He let this guy act like the devil, just like our president's acting right now. Excuse me, I'll get back. So, the centurion was acting like the devil. But all of a sudden, he saw God. And I believe the White House, I believe America's getting ready to see God in a way. And the church, in a way that we've never seen him before. So this centurion said, surely he was a righteous man. Verse 48, and the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breast. And they returned. Where'd they return to? They went home. But all of his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, just watching all these things, just watching this horrible, torturous murder. So they just stood there. Can I tell you this morning, though, we know what happened. We know that he was nailed in his hands and in his feet, and the guard struck his side with the spear. We know all that. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I got this on Thursday morning in prayer. It was not those nails that held him to the cross. Do you think that a spike... They weren't just little, you know, contractor's nails, builder's nails, but they were spikes. Do you think that even those could have held him to the cross? Do you know what really held him there? It was his love for us. He loved us so much His love was one of the nails that held him there. And then I just want to say, I believe it was his obedience to God the Father. Remember when he was out in the garden and he was just sweating great drops of blood? He was so tense and so passionate. And he's saying, Father, if it would be your will, why don't you just let this pass from me? Except he knew this is the reason that he came to earth. He knew this was it. This is what I came to do. My sisters and I used to sing a song called Born to Die. And that's what Jesus was. He was born to die. And so we know that it was his love for you and me that hung him there. And his obedience to his Father. He loved his Father. He said, Father, let this pass from me, this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, if it be your will, I'll go. And the Holy Spirit was there with him. And I'll just stop right here with this one. And you know what else held him there? I don't know if it was at his feet or the spear. But it was our sin. Think about your sin. Think about my sin and all the mess, all the stuff we've done. Oh my goodness. If you lined up every sin we've sinned since we were kids, my goodness, you guys, there was so much. It held him to that cross. Our sins. And we have the audacity sometimes to play. Do whatever we feel to do. But I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you'll help me today. This message is way too big for a little human to try to deliver. So all I can say, Holy Spirit, is you were there. So please help me in Jesus' name. So just be reminded and be encouraged that your sin was nailed there. Your sin was nailed there. And his love was put out into our hearts. I want you to look over before we go farther. I think I was going to say, but let's go to Romans. Go over to Romans. No, I'm jumping ahead. I don't want to go there yet. I get too excited about all this. So just hold on. Okay. So I'm telling you, there was just so much. I already said it in the offering that we traded. You know, there's a song called The Great Exchange. When you go into other countries, you can take your own American money and then you can go to the exchange and they will change your money. Even in Canada, and they will change it, Israel, you know, these places. And you know, it's like you go and take your old car to the dealership and you get a new car. You give them the old car with all the miles, all the dirt, all the stuff. My friend had a new Lexus. Well, it used to be new, but then they drove the wheels off of it. Well, they had a bulldog. I don't know. Was it a bulldog, the one that has the big jowls that hang and they drool? Beautiful dog. But anyway, and they were always taking it in the back seat. And so one day I was riding along with them, and I got in the back seat, and I'm like, whoa. I wanted a blanket. I wanted a towel. I just wanted something to sit on. Surely they didn't know how messy it was back there. They just throw the dog in, take off to the bed, whatever they're doing. So they turned that car in one day to get a brand new one with all that slobber, all that mess, all that filth, and all the beauty on the outside. It looked so pretty on the outside. After they got rid of it, had almost 200,000 miles. So they traded this old, it didn't look like it. Please don't tell me when I said this, but that old jalopy Lexus, they traded it and got a new one. I don't know if it's a Lexus, but they got another new car. So you see, this is what we did with Jesus. We took all of our filth and all of our uglies and all of the junk. And we gave him our sin. And what did he give us? He gave us his love and he gave us forgiveness. For all of our sins, he goes, hey, I've got forgiveness. And he washed them all away. Ronnie Hanson wrote a song that says that he took our sins, our black heart of sin. He washed it in red blood and made it as white as snow. Isn't that beautiful? So he traded, we trade the great exchange, like going into another country. Well, we are. We're going into the kingdom of God, Brother Leonard. So we exchange not our money, but our currency, the old sin, for forgiveness. How many's glad he exchanged that for you and he forgave us? Amen. How about the confusion we carried in our minds? Whew. Boy, that was a mess. The confusion, the fear, the depression, the misunderstandings, the things that you just can't get over. I mean, you just can't seem to get past it. And then those Romans put that big crown of thorns on his head. And those weren't little thorns like you see in your rose bush. They're like this. Okay, and if you've ever gotten a thorn, you know it swells immediately, and boy, does it burn and hurt. But they put those on his head. So not only did he have a bleeding back and all everything else, but his head was bleeding. But Isaiah the prophet said, he was wounded for our transgressions. That means our weaknesses, our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, or the whipping, or the beating, or the punishment that we should have had. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, right there at the cross. And by his stripes, every one of those stripes, we are healed. Isaiah said, you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, oh, he himself took our sins upon the cross, and he took the stripes, and by his sins you were. Isaiah said, you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says you are healed. So whichever way you go, it's good. So we got the healing there. The old song says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Well, I wouldn't say we're happy all the day, but we have joy way down in our heart. It runs like a river. See, that's why you can go through what you go through. And it doesn't make you happy. I mean, it's a bad deal, and you don't like it one bit. But how do you get through that? What is that peace you feel down in there? That's that joy, that bubbling up joy, that everlasting river that he put in us. Big difference between joy and happiness, but that's another subject. All right, let's look at Luke 24. And we'll, right here. Here's today. Now on the first day of the week, 24:1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women went with them, came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in white shining garments. And then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Oh, because we thought he was dead. We saw him die on that cross. That's why we're seeking the dead among us living. He said, oh, no. You should be seeking the living among the dead, because he is not dead. Verse 6, he's not here, the angel said. He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee? And here's what he said, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day he'll rise again. Do you remember that? Sometimes the Holy Ghost has to speak to us and say, do you remember that? Do you remember that time I delivered you? Do you remember that time when I healed your body? Do you remember how I brought you through that mess and you didn't even know if you could even get through it? You didn't even know if you could stand and look in the face of the thing. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will just ask you, do you remember that? Somebody say, I do. Oh, Jesus, help us. All right, now you can go over to Romans 8:11. Okay, I said, okay, Lord. It wasn't the nails that held you there. I know those nails could not have held you up. And when that guard speared him in the side, the Bible says blood and water came out. But you know what? Remember what he did to Adam? He put him to sleep, and he took a woman out of his side, and he made the woman out of a rib. Can I tell you today, he did not pull another species of man or humanity out of his side. You know what came out of his side? The body of Christ. The church. The church flowed out of his side. Christians. Those that love him. Those that are committed to him. The Spirit. Revelation says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Spirit and the bride, the pure bride, flowed together. We came out of the second Adam's side. Oh, Lord, this is so good. The church came out of his side. Woman came out of Adam's side. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, look at Romans 8. So I said, Lord, the nails didn't hold you, so how'd you get up out of that grave? I was talking to my little grandchildren about it. They said, Nana, how did he get up all by himself? I said, baby, he was asleep, too, for 3 days. The song you guys just sung said there was war in that grave. Well, there really was, and that's another subject, because he went down to hell during that time into the valley of the earth, the Bible says. And he took the keys away from Satan to death, hell, and the grave. So Satan wants to come and tell you all his power he's got, what he's going to do to you, and how he's going to take you out, and he's going to take your family out, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. You just tell him, shut up, devil. You don't even have the keys to your own house. So what are you talking about? You don't have the keys to hell or death. You don't have the keys to anything. Because my Savior, I know who has the keys. And you know what else Jesus said about the keys in Matthew 18? He said, I give these keys to you. I give the keys of my Father's kingdom to you. And he says, with this key, you can bind. And you can lose. And if you bind it on earth, just lock the door and it'll be locked in heaven. And if you loose it on earth, we'll just open it up and loose the angels and loose the glory from heaven and it'll come down to you. That's what the keys of heaven does to us. Amen? The keys to the kingdom. Woo! That's good, Pastor Paulette. Keep going, girl. Be encouraged. All right. Did I read you Romans 8:11? Okay. How did he get out of that grave all by himself? Look at Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him, look at that, capital H, H-I-M, that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of him who raised, read this with me, raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, so who raised him? The Spirit of God. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, somebody say, and he does. Well, he, the Holy Ghost, he who raised Christ from the dead will also, that also, I'm so glad that word's there. I am just so happy that word's there, Brother Kitty. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Ah, hallelujah. Would you say that with me in the middle part? He who raised, say it out loud, he who raised Christ from the dead, say it, will also, say it again, also. That means you too, me too. So, the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. There wasn't anything going on. Lazarus was just a picture of what Jesus was getting ready to do. And the Spirit of God went into that tomb and raised him from the dead. And he said, and that's not all. He who raised him will lift your life. Raise Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I love how the old King James says it. It says he will quicken. It will quicken. It will quicken. That Holy Ghost will quicken your mortal body. When our bodies feel sleepy, when our bodies are lethargic, when our bodies aren't where they ought to be spiritually, and try to take over your spirit, when your flesh is all acting up, he says, hey, I will do it also to you just like I did it to Jesus Christ. Just like I raised him up, I'll quicken you too. So the next time he comes at you, you just say, me too. Oh, no. Me too, devil. You can't do that to me because he came out of the grave. Who is he? Oh, when he was born, the angel said he would be Emmanuel. God with us. He'll be God with us. That's who he is. And he said, I'll be with you wherever you are. So, because he came out of the grave and he said, you too, you say, yeah, but I'm addicted, you know. I'm a heroin addict. Well, he loves you. Well, I'm a prostitute, but he still loves you. I'm a homosexual. He loves you. And I love you, too. You love them. You hate to sin, but you love people. Oh, how he loves you and me, the song says. So we were given, because he was given the power to come out of the grave. Oh, church, we've been given the power to come out of our graves, too. The song says, I know before we could have just done a whole message on songs this morning. Oh, Stephen Furtick wrote, I can hear those dry bones rattling. Can't you just hear them sometime? The dry bones are rattling of the graves that have come to America. And try to take America down and around the world and COVID and all the stuff. Sometimes you hear those bones rattling. I heard them at Vivian's house the other day. I went over there. In fact, I got to her house about 3 in the afternoon on Friday. I wanted to be alone, but I knew I needed to get there. And she had 4 or 5 people there, family. And I served them communion, told him about Jesus dying at that hour, and let's honor him. Oh, they were happy too, and the tears just flowed, and the anointing of the Lord came in that room. And we were getting ready to take the blood, or I think it was the bread. I said, hey, Viv, you know, she has stage 4 cancer, as I told you last week. And it's all through her body, her brain. She's still doing well, though. I wrote to her this morning. She blessed this. Said, have a blessed Easter, everybody. I said, Viv, pray over the bread. And she prayed over the body of Christ to bring healing to her body. It was a beautiful thing. It's available to her, you know. There's nothing too big for him. He said, my hand is not too short. So these graves of death, the graves of death, sickness, death, the graves of despair, the graves of addiction, your grave of lust, the grave that has held you back for so long and you feel like there's no way out of it. Some of you are in a grave of shame. You're just ashamed all the time. And you know why you are? It's because the devil pounds you and pounds you and pounds you, just like Delilah did Samson. Remember, it says she wearied him. She pounded him. Day after day after day, she wore him out. And Satan will hit you with shame. He'll hit you with guilt. And Jesus said, hey, let me quicken your mortal body. I came out of the grave, you also. Get up here with me. Get up here with me, amen. The grief of eating disorders. I've seen sweet young ladies that look beautiful that think they're fat. Fat people. No, we don't think we're skinny. I'm just saying, come out of that grave. You know, eating disorders can go either way. But when you have no excuses. All right, let's go. So, the grave of failure. How many have ever felt, you know, it's so funny. People get old. They get to be about 40. And they're like, I just haven't accomplished anything. I just thought I'd be farther along than this. I just thought. Think again, baby. That's what you get for thinking. Come on, you're not done. Landmark's just getting started. I mean, we're 27, 28 years old, but we haven't done anything yet. You haven't done anything. Catherine Kuhlman said, I didn't even get started in my healing ministry until I was 65. And you know her ministry, more healings than anyone else. Probably besides Smith Wigglesworth or Amy. But she said, Lord, why didn't you use me when I was younger? He said, I couldn't because you would have messed it up. He said, I had to process you first. See, we have to go through process. We have to learn some things because when you're younger, you just think you know it all. You know, an adolescent, what do? Mama tells them something. They flip that hair and walk in that bedroom. They know it all. But that's an adolescent at 13. So let that sweet little adolescent get to be about 40. They're like, or 30. Gosh, my mom and daddy smarter than I thought they were. Wow. Okay, I better get back over. I'm going to get off. The grave of adultery. Listen, if you're living together, you need to get married. You know why? So you'll have the whole blessing of God. If you're not married, you're not going to have God's entire blessing. If you want it, like Jesus did, walk in obedience to him. Okay, come out of the grave of worry. Worry is just, you know, it seems like a common thing. No, we can't. Jesus said, you also, come out with me. Grave of fear, man, I was in that grave of fear. Whew. Fear and anxiety. And I want to tell you, I know what a grave that is. It's like, my goodness, this is 6 feet under and totally dark, and there's no way out. And there's not, except when he shows up. When the Holy Spirit shows up to get you out, just like he did Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to tell you today, church, Wednesday night I closed with, it's Friday. It was Good Friday. Jesus was on the cross. And you know, it's a very popular saying over the past 20 years. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now, Sunday did come, and Jesus got out of the grave, and it was just Satan thought he had it all done, but it was just a temporary victory for Satan. But it was permanent eternal life for Jesus and for us. I mean, we got to get in on the eternal life. But, see, it's Sunday. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Okay, today's Sunday. Today's Sunday on earth. In real time where you and I are, it's Sunday. It's a resurrection. But I want to tell you, just like God's always had it, that's not all. Not all. God never lets it be all. When Adam failed, that wasn't it. That wasn't all. He destroyed the earth with water with Noah. That wasn't it. He just turned the page and went on. Get through all the miracles and all the prophets and all the kings. You get to the Old Testament. That wasn't it. Just flip over to the New. Go to the New Testament. There's nowhere to stop. Okay. We had Christmas. We just had Christmas. Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. We can't stop there. God didn't let us stop at Christmas. Okay, and then we had the cross. The cross, the cross. It's all about the cross. Yes, it's a cross, but you can't stop there. You don't stop there. We move on. We move on. Where do we move to? The resurrection. So now it's Sunday. Now what? Now what? We got to the resurrection, but that's not all. What's next? I'll tell you this, church. It's Sunday, but Jesus is coming. It's Sunday, but Jesus is coming sooner than we think. Amen. So you just remember, it's Sunday. I think that'll be a good title for this. It's Sunday, but Jesus is coming. And we can't stop there. They went into the upper room after Jesus died, and the Holy Ghost came just like he said he would. See, everything that God said would happen, it just happens. Now, it'll be not on your time scale. But when he says it and he gives it to a prophet, or he writes it in this book, everything he says comes to pass. And so Jesus said, now I'm going to go back to my Father, and I'm going to ask him to send you his promise, which is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Tongues of fire set upon them all where they were sitting. However, you can't stop there. There's more. Here we are, way down the road, 2,000 years. Then what? The coming of the Lord. He's coming very soon. And I want to wrap it up with this. I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians, and I will tell you exactly how that's going to happen. Let me read this because I don't want to leave you at the tomb. The tomb is good. I've already told you everything we received there. But we got to go a bit farther. I want you to go to chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now he said, look, you're a wise people. And I don't want you ignorant. I want you to know some things according to my word. 1 Thessalonians, here's our future. Chapter 4, verse 13. Paul, speaking to his disciples and others around him and future people like us, the church. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have gone before you, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. That's what David just said about Vivian. She's given a bad report, but she has hope. So he said, I don't want you like the people out in the world that you work with. They're hopeless, okay? They really are hopeless. If they don't have Jesus, it's hopelessness for them. Total despair. But he said, I don't want you to be like them. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him who? Who will he bring with him? Even so God will bring with him those that your loved ones who have died and gone before us. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. It's not by man's word, but by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Oh no, we're not going to go ahead of them. Here's how it works. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, not a representative, not an angel, the Lord himself will descend, come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, like the shofar, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, look at this, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That word means rapture. When somebody says, rapture's not in the Bible, you tell them the Greek word for caught up means rapture. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So I just wanted to comfort you with those words. That's the way it is. Amen. So I got to give you, though, chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, about all this, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a... Jesus was talking to his disciples one time, and he said, oh, I know, if you knew what time the thief was coming, you wouldn't have gotten your things taken. But Jesus said, you guys know, you're looking around. You know the seasons. He says, I really don't need to write this to you, but I will. Because the rapture, he comes like a thief in the night, because we'll just be snatched out. So I would say, get your family ready. Quit playing and listen, don't lower the bar. Don't lower the bar. Well, we know more now than we used to. We're under grace. No, no, no. Don't lower your standards. Don't lower the bar. Don't be compromising. Get your families ready. Get yourself ready. Because it can happen at any minute. Like a thief in the night. Now, when he comes for the second coming, you know, there will be 7 years of tribulation. And then after that, we'll move into 1,000 years, and then there'll be the great white throne judgment. So it just keeps moving. It just keeps moving until the very end, after the great white throne. And then the new heavens and the new earth comes down. And John saw in the book of Revelation, John saw this city prepared for the bride. And he said, the new Jerusalem's coming down. And Peter said, and that's when this earth will be totally burnt up, annihilated. Some don't believe that, but you can read 1 Peter and see it. The earth will be annihilated. And the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem will come down. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. Oh, church, we have such a future. Would you bow your heads for a minute? Dear Jesus, I thank you for your sweet people. I just wanted to comfort them with these words. There's so much more. Jesus, if there be any man or any woman or any child in this room that says, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Pastor Paulette, what do I do? Oh, listen, he made it so easy for you. He said, if you will believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You shall be. You will be. But then he told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he healed her and he forgave her of her sins. And then he said, now go and sin no more. Don't go back to the bed of adultery. And the Lord keep you, and the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. Lord, turn your countenance toward us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.